Hello again. On Thursday, I got a call from Mr. Farag, and I was doing Awana, so I said, no, I need to watch the little kids, because if you turn your eyes for like 2 seconds, the first graders will zip right out the door. And so I was like, okay, I'll call him back. And then afterwards, I listened to the voice message, and he said, would you like to speak? And it was something that I've been, for a while, I was, you know, going through the weeks, and I was just sitting there, I'm like, one thing I haven't done in a while is speaking. And, you know, I said, Lord, if you want me to speak, you know, have someone come up. And within a week, Mr. Farag, you know, called me on the phone and said, hey, would you like to speak? So I thought that was awesome. So I didn't turn down the opportunity. But we didn't pick a topic right then. We said, hey, you know, let's pray about it. You know, it's Thursday night. On Sunday, we'll talk about it. Let's just see what's on your heart. And when I was sitting in the car, I was sitting there, I'm like, well, what really is on my heart? Because the Bible says to be ready in and out of season, and it's something that I've been fighting with for a while. And so I was thinking, well, what is on my heart? Let's sit here and let's think about what's going on in my life and what, you know, what's on my heart. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, let's see. And I was still sitting there for quite a while. And so I was like, you know what, let's just pray about it. The Lord will always be faithful to show us. So I prayed about it Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and then on Sunday, I prayed about it in the morning. I get here usually about 7:45, and I was praying here at the church. I was like, you know, when Mr. Fair comes, please let us, you know, the same topic be on our hearts. And when he came, I said, you go first, and just to see what it was. And he said that change was on his mind or on his heart. And I said, that's cool, because change and provision was on my heart, so it goes together. And lately, I've been seeing a lot of change and how the Lord just connects things, you know. And after a while, you start seeing these connections and you go, wow, you know. And lately, I was listening to someone and they go, well, why are we so surprised when God does something, you know? Should we be surprised? Should we say, wow, you know, look at this, look what the Lord's doing? Or should we say, I knew that was coming, or I was praying about that, so it should happen? And so I was going through the book of Genesis, if you'd like to turn there to Genesis 37. As I was preparing, I wasn't like Will and had like three outlines ready to go. I actually was thinking about it, and then I started making an outline. So I had somewhat knowledge of what I wanted to say. But then when I sat down and I started thinking about it, I saw that the Lord was leading me in different ways. And as I was sitting here, as you might want to say, practicing, or just going over my mind on the topic of what would just come out of my mind if I just started speaking the topic, just off the top of my head. And six different ways came out of my mouth of different ways to go. And this one I have not explored yet, so we'll see how it goes. So obviously, Genesis 37 is the story of Joseph. And you might think, well, how does change have to do with Joseph? And there's a Bible study that I'm doing on Fridays, every other Friday with a group of boys. And we're going through the life of Joseph and all the things that he was going through. And I was just thinking, well, do our normal lives go like this? No. I mean, did your brother sell you into slavery? Probably not, or else that would be a pretty mean brother, you know, which I know David's probably thought about. But anyways, he had the life of his father loved him, okay? He was the last one born. I know how that feels. And he was the last brother born. He was the youngest. His father absolutely loved him, gave him a coat of many colors. And then he starts getting these dreams. And in 37 and verse 5, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There they were, binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to mine. Verse 8, and his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more, and his dreams, and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers, and he said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So it was told to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come bow down to the earth before you?" So here he had, you know, his life was going good, and then he dreamed these two dreams, okay? It was given to him by God, okay? God put these dreams in his mind. It wasn't of him just thinking, okay, let's dream this dream where all these people are bowing down to me. God put it in his heart, in his mind. And his brothers and his father started rebuking him, and his brothers started hating him for that. And so now we start seeing change. You know, he's following God, and now there's change. And so if you look at Joseph had, obviously, like I said, a good life. He had the coat of many colors. And then if you look at Genesis 37 and scroll down to verse 25, here he is sold into slavery. This is where the brothers, his father said, "Hey, go check on him in the fields." And he started walking up, and Joseph was walking, and his brother saw him from afar off and said, "Hey, let's kill him." And when I was reading this, I was like, whoa, you know, that's kind of like jumping the gun right there. You know, let's kill him. But Reuben said, no, let's do him no harm. Instead, let's put him in a hole. And he was going to let him out later on. But when he left, when Reuben left, Joseph was in this hole. And in verse 25 to 28, it says, "And they sat down to eat a meal. And they lifted up their eyes, and behold, and they saw a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balms, myrrh. And on their way, they carried them down to Egypt." And so there was this company of people coming, and they said, "Hey, let's sell him as a slave." And so there's yet another change. First, now, you know, his brothers kind of liked him. He had the dreams. They hate him. Now they wanted to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery. Change was all around him, but God was always providing for him. God provided Reuben to say, "Hey, let's not kill him. Let's put him in the hole." God provided, even after that, when he was sold, Potiphar bought him. And if you look down in Genesis 39:1-3. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guards, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian. I mean, here he's now a slave of someone. And even in this dark hour, he is still going for the Lord. The Lord is with him, it says. And in the next few verses, it says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. It wasn't that he just said, "Oh, this is a good man." He said he saw the Lord was with him, and he made him second in command. And all this change is going on. Well, and I was thinking, well, how does this have to deal with us, with all these changes that Joseph's going through? And in our own lives, humans go through a lot of changes, whether we like it or not. You know, the wife might set up the house a certain way, and the man comes in and starts changing it, and, you know, the wife gets mad, right? But change is all around us. Whether we like it or not, change is going to happen. We change our clothes. We change our minds. Some people change their careers. You know, some people adapt to different environments. Like when Shane moved to North Dakota, he had to adapt to that new weather. And all of us really are prone to change, whether we like it or not. And in science terms, they say the survival of the fittest, right? You have to change in order to survive in your atmosphere. And really, if you think about it, we're in the Lord's atmosphere. So if we want to change to be survival of the fittest, we should give ourselves to the Lord. The Lord should be with us in order for us to survive. And even though we like the world and people are afraid of change, because they don't know what's going to happen. They're scared of what's going to happen. People don't want to follow God because they think, "Hey, I'm going to go to Africa. You know, God will send me there." That's what happens when people give their lives to God. People are afraid that family members will hate them or friends will leave them that they have. And we're afraid because you know, we're going down this one path that we like so much that we're so clinging to. But when you get saved, it's not like you're going down this path and then you're going down a path that's right here, where you still can be on that line. When God says you're saved, you're going this way and then you're going completely the opposite way. You're not even looking at the way that you used to go in. And obviously, you guys, I've said it multiple times, you know, with the spring conference, you know, I changed. And I'm still trying to change. I'm not saying that I'm perfect by all means. This message was for me more than it was for anyone else. But like Joseph, he gave it to the Lord. And every time I feel myself overburdened or scared of what's going to happen, I just give it to the Lord. We had a bunch of speakers here that was talking about discipleship. And I was like, how great would it be that I would be discipled? You know, Lord, send someone to disciple me. Someone come up and ask me, because I'm not going to ask anyone else, because, you know, then you have to start deciding which man to choose, and I didn't want to do that. But then the Lord brought change into my life, and he said, hey, let's change your attitude. Let's change your point of view of how you're looking at this. How about you don't look for someone to disciple you? How about you disciple someone else? And I said, okay, bring me someone, just someone. And a few weeks later, there was a kid that I pick up from Riverside. His name's Seth Forbes. And in Brigades, he wanted to start doing his achievements. Well, his achievements is a great way to open the Word and not only do an activity with him, but also get him to study God's Word. And I laid out a plan, and I said, hey, if you follow this plan, you're going to be done with this section in a month. And if you do this plan, you'll be done with this larger section in 3 months. And I laid out a plan for him, and I said, if you follow this plan, this is what will happen. And I know because I've done it myself. And so with all this stuff, it's change, but God provides. Because I wanted to change, I wanted to disciple someone, and God provided someone for me. And he provided a way. The only way that I knew how was Brigades. And now he is set to get the Herald of Christ probably the end of next year, if he keeps on going during the plans. Well, during this whole time, just like Joseph, he's going through many different changes radically. And the Lord has really wanted to show me that, hey, I can do miraculous things. You know, I can do great things. And are you willing to see that? And I said, yeah, you know, change me so I can see these things. And even through Seth, I had to go to his chapel, and we had to, an achievement was to see how churches worship. And that's a change, because if the kid can't see how people worship God, how is he going to be able to do that himself? And I know how to worship God through my examples, through you guys. And so we went to his church, and we went through a service, and then at the end I asked him a bunch of questions, you know, who led, what was the theme, what did you see, what scriptures were open, were you praying about this too, did you see any way that you could have stood up and given out a song or a hymn or a verse? And then afterwards, he came here. And then he saw us and how we worship. And then the next achievement, when I had to go back down out there a couple weeks later. And I was kind of getting the liking of going to visit a church, because, you know, they're all nice to you. Like, oh, hey, you know, it's been a while, you know, since we've seen you. And, you know, cool, you know, who are you? And people were asking me questions. And you know, you feel you know, it does. It feels good. That's why people want to leave different churches, you know. But the Lord said, hey, Daniel, I'm going to test you. And he said, I don't want you to get too comfortable going to a different church. So he said, are you going to be ready in and out of the season? Which was on my mind that week. And while I was there fellowshipping with him, the guy came up and he goes, hey, okay, our Sunday school teacher is not here for high school. You're taking the class. You know Seth, you know Travis, you're taking the class. Hello, I'm Daniel Dixon, I'm visiting your church, how are you doing? Who are you? Like, I had no even clue who this guy was. He just came up to me. And I took that class, and, you know, I had no clue what I was going to do. I wasn't prepared, but I said, Lord, provide. And Brigades was going through Proverbs chapter 3. And I said, great, I know the first six verses. I can go over the first six verses. I can take an hour on that. You know, great, let's do this. And so I was telling the guys, when I walked in, I said, hey, either we're going to do Proverbs 3 or we're going to do what your teacher was talking on. What were they talking on? And he goes, oh, somewhere in Judges. Okay, do you know what chapter? Do you know what judge he was talking on? And they had no clue. So I said, Proverbs 3 it is. Let's go. And I had a bunch of kids that weren't normally in that class, in the class, because they were practicing for their Christmas play. It was around Christmas time. And so I got to go through the first three verses, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, all these verses that we keep in our minds. And I was able to go through it, and all these kids are like, wow, you know, that's really, you know, that was really what I needed. And, you know, these kids were appreciative of what I had. And it was the Lord providing for me. Was I out of season? Yes. Was I not really prepared? Yes, I was not prepared. But did God provide? Yeah, he did. And then the next time, you know, and then I went down there again. And as I was ministering to these guys, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. I was asking for the Lord to bring someone to me to disciple. And I really didn't think at that point that I was discipling this kid, but I was. And his next achievement was to write a thank you note to a leader. He could have chosen anyone, but he chose to write it to me. And since I go down, and he's one of the kids I pick up on Tuesday, I go down to Riverside and I come back. And there's about an hour in between the drive after I pick up all the kids and come here. So that's an hour that I have to talk with this kid. And I never let him talk about worldly things. If they're talking about video games, I turn it right for the Lord. Their music is that they listen to is not allowed to be louder than my music that I play, because I always play Air One, or on my Pandora, it's always Christian music that I'm playing. It's never anything worldly or anything like that. And their music is not, if I can hear their music over mine, they have to turn it off or they have to turn it down. And if they can't, then they got to turn it off. So it's either way, I win. And as we were going, he was writing this thank you note. And I had no clue he was writing it to me. And he had to write a thank you note, but he also had to put what he learned. And I had no clue that just the ride down there, I was teaching him things. Things that I didn't even see myself. And he goes, what I've learned from you is that the front row and the front seat is the Christian seat. You know, the godly seat. If you want to talk about God, you have to sit either in the first row or the front seat. You have to. Because usually people in the back, they're doing their own thing. They are sometimes playing games, but I try to turn the whole van into this conversation, so I want all of them to hear. And he goes, this is what I've learned. I've learned that you can turn any conversation into the Lord, whether it's music, whether it's video games, whether it's school-related, whatever it is, you can turn it into the Lord. And I was sitting there, and I was like, is that really true? And I was thinking back, and I was like, well, yeah, I guess so. I've had a lot of good conversations lately, so I'm assuming it's right. And he goes, we also call the front seat the salvation seat. If anyone really has a super important question, they have to sit in the front seat. And a kid did get saved this year, and he was sitting in the passenger seat. I made the kid that normally sits there sit in the back so he could sit there. I said, you could sit in the front row. I mean, that's always open, first come, first serve, you know. But I said, the front seat, he has to sit there. And I ended up talking to him. David talked to him earlier that night, and then he got saved. And this kid was writing this thank you note, and he's saying, you know, I've learned so much about God just through your example. And then I sat down, and I was like, well, where have I learned that example? From my dad and from all the people here. You know, my dad was driving the red van for many years. You know, I was in the brigade program for years. And he always drove. The front seat was always the salvation seat. The front row was always for those that wanted to talk about God. Those that wanted to play games sat in the very back row. And I remember, you know, good conversations, and I remember a lot of my friends or friends of my friends getting saved because they would come to brigades, and my dad would not let them get out of the van unless he talked to them. And so I wrote my dad a thank you note, and I left it on his desk because I knew he would see it in the morning. And I was thinking, well, now I'm discipling this kid, but this kid is really discipling me. He's teaching me things that I would never have seen. And it's because I've asked for change. It's because I asked God, hey, I don't like the way I'm living. Please show me something different. And I mean, like, through these kids, I mean, there's just so much, you know, things that I could say just about brigades. And, you know, because I love the program so much, and the Lord knows that that's where my heart's at. And even in my own life right now, I'm trying to choose between two different careers. And every time I choose one, the Lord opens another door on this one. So then I choose that way. And then the Lord opens another door on this one. So I choose that way. And I keep on going back and forth. And the Lord's trying to teach me, you know, don't be comfortable where you're at. You know, we're just passing through this life. You're not supposed to be bogged down. Don't think about your future, because I want to know where my future is. That's why I'm afraid of change. Because I want to know that I'm going to be able to have a house, a white picket fence, you know, a dog running in the yard, you know, just the American dream that everyone has. And yet the Lord is saying, hey, you know, I can change any time. I can change your mind anytime. I can change your way you're going to view things anytime I want. So you better be on your tippy toes, ready to go. And so that's why I wanted to, you know, when I was thinking what's on your heart, well, that was on my heart, the change, the knowing that God provides if you're willing to look after his ways. Because I've seen a lot of my friends say, oh, I want to change. And then I mean, where are they now? All my friends that I've seen that want to change are gone, you know. And those that are really kept strong, you know, I'm seeing them actually changing. Are we willing to actually change? Are we willing to get out of that comfort zone and see what the Lord has for us? And I wanted to think about Moses too. When God came to Moses and said, I want you to free Israel out of Pharaoh's hands, he gave a bunch of excuses. Father, my speech, you know, I don't speak that well. Father, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. And every time the Lord just says, okay, well, here's your answer. Okay, you don't speak well? Well, here's Aaron. You know, and through, you know, Sunday school, or Awana's, you know, we were going through Moses. And, you know, every time I hear about these stories, you learn something new. And how God just constantly will provide for us, no matter what, how we change. Hopefully for the better. And I just want to say that if we lift it up to God, you know, he will change us. And, you know, he changed this message. I wasn't even going to go this direction. But obviously, before I got up here, I changed my mind. And I know that happened to Kevin before. And I've always noticed that, you know, people say that when they get up there, that they change their minds. You know, the Lord puts something new on their mind and they go a different direction. And are we willing to take that leap when it comes? You know, are we willing to make that change? And so from here on out, I'm going to give it to Mr. Ferry to finish out.
Thank you, Danny. Is Mr. Dixon here? You have sweet son. I love him. The one just finished, and you have both. Are fine. Danny encourages me, and I want to have a confession. I confess that when this ministry started, I was really in doubt that how it's going to work, especially people, they never spoke before, young people, but I can see now, after a year or so, that it built them up and encourages us as adults very, very much. And really, I enjoy listening to Danny. Danny wasn't talking to us. He was talking to himself. He didn't speak to us. He was speaking to himself. And with all the open heart, he's sharing his experience. And that's a kind that we need to hear. Everybody stands here speaking to the audience and always preaching others. But when I listen to Danny is just opening his heart to tell what the Lord is telling him. And that's really very encouraging. It is very nice, different kind of ministry the Lord give him. He talked about changes coming from outside, like Joseph. But I want to talk to you, finishing the change subject, about something should come from inside. And we live in a world full of changes. But remember, this world is not our friend. And we had a discussion this afternoon that what we're going to do with this world, that it is our enemy. Are we going to go with the flow? Are we going to be like them? Or shall we take stand? Are we going to be separated but not isolated? Are we going to minister to the world but not be a part of it? That's a challenge. And that's a challenge of change, that I'll be different because we don't belong to the world. We have our place that we are destined to. This is a place of a journey. This is a place for strangers, and we are strangers here. We're heading home. If we remind each other of Abraham, Abraham looked at the city, and always I like this thing about Abraham. Abraham lived in a tent. The whole world, Lot, lived in a city. He has a nice house. He was a part of the community, a part of the world. But remember, a tent to live in, but to build an altar to worship. That's what we build. And after this, I like to speak about one verse, just one verse in Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Two words. The first one, confirmed. Two, not to be confirmed. The second one, to be transformed. And I looked up the word confirmed. This means to be in harmony with, to be similar to be accordance with. But he said, don't be in harmony with the world. Don't be similar to the world. Don't go with the standard of the world. What is the world offering? Offering everything can attract us. And I'm going to talk about three areas, if I have the time permits to me. I'm going to talk about our language. And I'm going to be practical. I'm not talking about spiritual life here. No, I'm going to talk about character. We know, we heard a lot about the life in holiness, in purity. But do you know something? The Lord wants us to change our characters. The thing that we got used to do it, or the thing that we like to match the world. I give you an example. Our language, our word, our sentences. Do you know that some Christians, they don't like to say the word outside the made-up word in the dictionary? I don't like the replacement of this word, like darn and heck and all of this stuff. We add it because we can't pronounce their words, and we want to make one of us so we can be similar. Watch our sons and daughters. how they like to import these words in their lives. But let's talk about ourselves. I'm going to read one verse in Matthew. Let's look at Matthew. Go back. 26. And let's look at verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for truly for thy speech betrayeth thee, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And I want to mention that Peter lived 3 years with the Lord Jesus on this earth, and definitely he heard him talking, and he picked up his way of talking, picked up his way of discussion, and his words became part of his life because he lived too much. How many times we live with people and we pick up their language, their slangs? And that's why Peter, when he tried to hide himself, he couldn't. His language, his words betrayed him. And they said, you were with him. Do we have this kind of character that when you talk and your language can show that you don't belong to the world? Do we have this way of talking that people say, you're talking differently? Or we like to be mixed and match and be acceptable to other people by saying their words? Character needs to be changed. And we have to do it. This is the word of God telling us not to be confirmed. Let's go to Ephesians 5. And mostly I'm going to talk to the young people in this verse. Excuse me. And I'm going to emphasize on, and this could be for everyone, but I am meant for young people. Ephesians 5, 2 to 4, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. For neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. He's talking to a believer here. He's talking to the believers. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, joking, picking on each other, mocking each other, making jokes. Do you know sometimes as young people you like to have fun? But do you know, I think we should watch ourselves even when we have fun. Because there's people around us listening if we are picking on each other. Jesting, making jokes doesn't mean anything. And it says it doesn't fit. It says here some not convenient. And other translations say it does not fit. Doesn't fit us. And how many times, I encourage you, how many times we have the Lord works in, amongst us and brought us people in conferences and we get convicted and then we start good and we start Bible study and start coming to the meeting. And little by little we go back to our ways of when we get together, we start losing down, losing. And then we start saying words. And I noticed this in every community, Christian community. Young people, they like to stay with the same way between each other. But can we respect and love each other without making filthiness and jesting and foolish talk? That's not for the world, that's for us. And that's why he started, he say, about that walk in love as Christ also has loved us. You said, oh, we're having fun. Yes, we can have fun, but we can respect each other, not to be confirmed to the world. Let them do whatever they want. But even in our conversation, in our good time, we should show that we are different than the world. So this is the language it should be. And also, we like to talk about something. It's very hard to talk about, but it is our custom and culture not to be confirmed to the world. It's hard to say what I'm going to say, but custom and culture. Sometimes it comes between us and the Word of God. Being under yoke of unbelievers, having relationship and friendship with people not from the family of God. I'm going to talk also to the young people today, tonight. Watch for your friendship. Young men, be careful with having a relationship with another young woman not from the family of God. Dangerous. I'm going to say it. I'm studying the Bible for a long time, and I didn't see boyfriend and girlfriend. Custom. We dare to say it sometimes. Be confirmed. Be transformed, not to be confirmed. Relationship is different in Christianity. When you have a friendship with the opposite sex, that's because you want to get married. And when you are ready to get married, that's when you look for somebody. But there is no other relationship between a man and woman before marriage. There's nothing. Imagine 16 years of age having a girlfriend. What is his business for girlfriend? We are serious. We have to take things seriously. We can't bless these things. This is came from the society. The Bible is here talking about wife, husband, church, Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. But we know that young people, they have to be serious about their marriage. And they have to look for a wife. And when they are ready and they are praying, the Lord provide. When they are ready. And then They make the commitment and the friendship. And this would be honoring the Lord. Listen, we are human. Why young people put themselves to temptation? There's no need. There's no need for that. Can we be different? Can we change? Purity. Because if I am not serious about marriage, what kind of business I have to take somebody and spend time with her? Maybe at the end, she's not mine. I didn't ask the Lord if she is the one or not. Why you waste your time and her time? You don't go out unless you are serious about marriage. And then the Lord will honor your quest and the heart, the desire of your heart. And then he will show you. Take this subject seriously. Seriously. That's not for a moment. That needs prayer, fasting, to ask the Lord. Close the door if she is not coming from you. Close it. Open the door and give me your well. I want to know. I want to honor you. I remember from my experience when my wife Irene came and she was visiting from Israel, and we start seeing each other and we're going out, and I prayed, and there's many signs. I asked the Lord, and I asked him seriously, Lord, if she is the one, you brought her to me, give me a sign. I need to have peace, not 99%. I need to have a peace 100%. Then from my side, I'm comfortable. So I came, we went outside for dinner and finished. I took her back home. I said, listen, I know you well. I know your faith. I know what you believe. I know your character. I know everything about you. You know everything about me. Is there any need for us just to go out for going out? You are mature. I am mature. I am ready. You are ready. Here it is. You don't see me till you take things seriously. Go to the Lord. Pray. Ask. If Magdi is the one he prepared for you, and will ask myself if Irene is the one he send her to me from Israel, especially for a visit. And I said, you don't call me, you don't see me, so you have no pressure, you have no anything, just you and the Lord. And she shared this with some of her friend believers. And I kept this for the Lord. And finally, she called. And she said, yes, I'm comfortable too. I prayed. I seek advice. And I said, so we have a commitment. So before the Lord, we are for each other. So let's go out as we two people. They decided to get married. But to keep going and going and going and going, I don't understand it. I'm not pointing to anybody. I'm talking about the Word of God. We should be a good example. We are not like the world. I have a girlfriend, and listen, young people, you don't have to have a girlfriend. There's nothing telling you that you will be ashamed of this when you tell everybody in the world. We have to have to make stand. We are not like them. Young woman, you don't have to be ashamed that you don't have boyfriend. Tell everybody, I'm waiting for my husband. The Lord will send him to me. And the same with young people. Listen, if we are bought by price, let's take Jesus, his word, seriously. Seriously. The Lord is taking care of me. He paid the price. My journey from the beginning to the end, it is his. I don't see tomorrow. He sees tomorrow. My time in this earth, when I'm leaving, it is in his plan. I don't know. I have to walk in it. My marriage, it's included if I am honoring him. And that's why he looks at, Magdi is Southern California. He's trying to find somebody, and he closed the doors. Seeing somebody and doesn't work. Seeing another one doesn't. Why? Because he has his eyes in a girl from Haifa in Israel. She is going to take a trip in certain time, in certain year, and he will meet him in certain place. Do I believe this? Yes. Do you need to believe? Yes. Because he's God. But if we just taking it casually, and we're going to have time, I'm going to have somebody in my life, this is not serious, taking the Lord serious. Do you take it in your own? You're doing it in your own. You are not waiting on him. You are not giving him a chance. And how many marriages didn't really last, even among the believers? If it is the Lord from it in the beginning, it will be his house. It will be his home. He will find a rest in it. Not to be conformed to the world. We have to change character. We have to resist customs. We have to not to worry about culture. This Bible before America was founded. Before boyfriend and girlfriend. This is before everything. And if we say this Bible is for one generation, our faith is just in vain. This is eternal. This is can live. It is the word of God. It is perfect. Then he talked about changes from outside, but we need to have change in our characters. If he provided to Joseph and to Moses, he can provide for you if you have the will. He will help us. But we need to renew our mind and change. And maybe the Lord just put in our heart that we are not of the world. We are in it, but we are not of it. We are leaving. We are leaving. So let's please him. Let's do his own will. Let's bow our heads and give thanks to the Lord. Blessed God and our Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to lead. Help us to be obedient to the word, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing our minds. Let's be obedient and also submit to the Holy Spirit, that we can pleasing to the Father as our Lord Jesus lived a perfect life here. And we thank you for him, the one who brought us to you, the one who cleansed us, washed us from all our sins, and we can fit to call you Abba, Father. We thank you for this time, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts throughout the week, bless all the activities. We lift up those who are sick, and we ask just your word will be extended, and sinner will be saved, believers will be edified, and we live according to the gospel that we accepted. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.